What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline.
Today, we're going to be talking about patience and how important it is to practice patience. I got started on thinking about this a couple weeks ago when I saw a TikTok from this account, Draft. This woman.
Draft.
No. The account is Draft. I can't find her name. I can't find any of her research.
Because I was like, anything else. And Catherine, what do you want to talk about today? And she was like, well, I saw this TikTok and I actually can't find it again or remember
who
did it.
No, trust me, I found it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. She posts a lot. This woman is doing research and her doctoral thesis topic, I believe, is what she calls clothing domestication. The video that went viral was her saying, when you wear your clothes long enough, they reach a new level of ownership and they become your clothes. And you can't just go out and the second you buy a piece of clothing, it becomes, legally, you own that piece of clothing, but it's not energetically yours. You haven't broken it in. You haven't made it your own. It hasn't become an extension of you as much as a piece of clothing or a bag or a jacket. Think of these pieces that people wear all the time and they become synonymous with that person's identity and become a part of their identity and then balance off of each other. And it becomes less materialistic and more just energy of the clothing you wear. Mm-hmm. And I think obviously this is an important thing to talk about because of the aspect of patience that's involved with it, but also because this whole concept can be applied to everything, not just clothing. It's really interesting to apply to clothing. That's obviously the first thing that people consider and make impressions of you off of is your physical appearance, particularly with the things that you choose to wear. This whole idea of a cool girl and dressing like a cool girl, it's not the actual clothing that they're wearing. It's the fact that they're wearing it really well and that the clothing really works for them. That's the part that makes them cool because they're wearing their clothing. It's not the actual article of clothing that they're wearing. It's the fact that they're wearing it well and then it matches their vibe and elevates their vibe, and that's what makes them cool. So when you're scrolling Pinterest or something or just looking around looking at people for style inspiration, there's a whole aspect of things aren't going to look exactly the same on every single person. But even if the piece of clothing fit you the exact same way, you may not wear it the same way because you carry a different vibe and you haven't made that piece of clothing your own, or you're not making it your own because it's not as fitting to your actual personality. Mm. There's this element of you need to balance the clothing that you wear, the things that you fill your house and your life and, your relationships with, has to reach this kind of new level of ownership. But it's not a controlling or territorial thing, this level of ownership. It's truly just a new level that you can unlock of being aligned with something.
That's a really interesting idea. I kept thinking when you were saying that. And maybe the core idea is identity takes patience, because identity isn't something that you do once, something that you wear once. It is those things that you do over and over again that stick around, that really become a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. When you talk about it in fashion and clothing to begin with, I think there's so much trendiness when it comes to clothes, that there's new waves of here's what's popular now, here's what's trendy now, here's the cut of the top, or maybe polka dots are in right now, or maybe we're wearing
polka dots are already back out,
baby camisoles and different shapes of things and stuff like that, that are a bit more trendy than others. And our closet could be flooded with all of those things and we could have them, but they don't actually feel like us. You're just that's a piece of clothing that I own.
But you feel very disconnected.
And I was kind of trying on the style once, but it doesn't feel like me, versus out of my whole closet, I would say that there are a handful of things I know that I can wear over and over again. I feel confident in them every time. And they really feel like myself, because there's a level of not just something that is popular or looks good on a rack, but something that actually feels like you and fuels your identity. And out of my whole entire closet, if you asked me to name what's in my closet, I could probably list a quarter of it or maybe half of it based on those things that I know are there and I know I want to reach to. And then my closet is filled with 50% other items that I just own, but they aren't even ingrained in my brain because I kind of have no attachment to them. There's a difference between the same pair of denim shorts that you wear every single day over the summer versus
and
the other pair of shorts that you bought one time and you never reach for because they're just a little too high rise or they're not as comfortable or flattering.
Yeah. And part of that is maybe the article of clothing is better fit for you. And the other part of it is that you've worn it so much that you've become so used to it. And, the way that it has shaped, especially denim, I think, is one of the most common forms of this. And obviously everyone is kind of primed to want to keep their denim for a long time and is aware that, denim takes a minute to break in and that it'll shape to your body and fit you better. Denim is kind of the only article, and she talks about this, that denim is one of the only articles of clothing or textiles that we understand this concept of being patient and it gets better with age with. Mm. That's not the same for other things. And a lot of that is we are very primed to cheaply made clothing. And so that's a mental block too. But if you're buying like decent quality clothing that is going to last you long term, especially if you take care of it, that's when you reach this concept of you fitting the clothes fitting you. And then it's just like a mutually beneficial arrangement. And this goes for, again, clothing is a very tangible thing to talk about. And I think it's a really interesting thing to talk about with this concept because it is completely how you choose to express yourself. And, you know, the clothes you're wearing can dictate how you feel. They can make you feel better in the moment. They can make you feel worse in the moment. They can support something or kind of hinder something as you experience it. But this concept can be applied to literally anything. It can be applied to like your habits and routines. That's another tangible one. Obviously, the longer you have a habit, the more it becomes part of who you are and the more you exponentially benefit from it. The first time you try and instigate a habit or you try out a habit or try a routine, it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel clunky. It's going to feel like you're putting a lot of effort into it and not getting a lot of reward. But the longer you stick with that routine and the longer you learn to enjoy it and learn to make it your own, the more you're going to get out of it and the less energy you're going to have to put into it. That's the benefit of continuing with healthy habits and continuing with routines that really serve you.
You know, I like to think sometimes that nobody was intrinsically born with the hobbies and the skills and the identity they have. Yeah. Like, in a way, things come more naturally to some people. Maybe they started something very young, so it feels like they've known it forever. But every single person had a first time doing something. Every single professional athlete had a first time that they, you know, touched a snowboard, that they held a soccer ball, all of these things. Like, no one came out of the womb being a, you know, an Olympic snowboarder, being a professional soccer player, like whatever it may be. Nobody who is like a gym rat came out of the womb going to the gym. Everyone had a day one doing that. Everyone had a first time that they ran. Everyone had a first time they went to the gym. Everyone had, you know, a first time that they picked up a paintbrush if you're an artist or something like that. And so it's definitely motivating to feel like you can learn something at every time. But you definitely have to be patient because the difference between that first time thing versus it being a part of your identity, that is what takes time.
Right.
Like, I feel so connected to like working out in fitness right now. But there was a day where like I had only ever done team sports and stuff growing up. And like, I literally remember when I was on the cross country team in high school, they would only send like the top 5 to 10 girls or something to the weight room. It was like this special thing. It was like the top 7 girls going to nationals, like they get to do their weight training today. For whatever reason, they didn't like teach the rest of the team weight training. I think that's weird because it would have made people like stronger and better. And so like, I always like saw other people doing that, but it like wasn't actually something that I was exposed to or learned or tried until I like once went to the gym by myself my senior year of high school, and then I just kept going. But like, and Catherine said, everything is clunky at first. Everything is weird at first. And I remember like, I didn't even stick with that at first. I actually paid a girl on Instagram before I ever started posting on Instagram. I paid a girl on Instagram like $20 or something to write me a workout plan. I did it in our basement gym like maybe 2 or 3 days, and I was like, I don't think this is for me. Like, I don't like it. I'm not going to do it again. I remember I was like, did like Bulgarian split squats for the first time, and I'd just like never done any exercise like that before. And so after 1 week, I like gave
basement
it up. But I
gym
didn't,
meaning like unfinished basement,
yeah, like
with
it was
an,
gross,
a rusted dumbbell
and
in the
rusted
corner.
And it was clunky. But I was like, this isn't for me. And I like messaged the girl, and I was like, I don't need to pay you for any more plans. I don't think this is for me. Like, and I like literally quit it for a while until somehow like I picked it up again a little bit later. I just stuck with it. Things don't always work the first time. And I think for things to become part of your identity and for you to become really confident and identify with them, like, it takes patience and it takes time.
Which, and I mean, we kind of talked about this in the friendship episode last week too, but that's, you know, all good things take time. There's a reason that's a saying. This whole concept can be applied to relationships and friendships too. When you first meet someone or when you're first, you know, trying to be friends with someone, it's gonna feel clunky and maybe a little bit awkward, but like awkward in a good way, awkward in a like, we both want to be here, but I actually forget where you're from. Like, remind me again.
Yeah.
Or actually, like, where you have a dog. Like, these basic things that maybe you never have to ask your friends that you've been friends with for a long time. Oh, your dog. They can just like say the name of their grandmother, and you know, like the name of their grandma, you know.
Yeah.
Something that I love having these moments with my friends. Like, I just went to my friend's birthday party in Boston, and she had like 3 different groups of friends there. So I went with my few friends from home, and they were looking at like the little part of full list, and they're like, I don't know any of these people. And I get there, and I'm like, oh, my God, how are you? Like, I've met every friend from like all these different groups to the point where it's just like, we don't need an introduction. It's like, how are you? I'm like, your hair looks so good. Like, you stuck with growing it out because it was blonde and now she's growing it out to her natural color. And I was like, wait, I didn't even almost recognize you. Like, it looks so good. They're not my friends, but I enjoy being friends with them and having a connection with them, like knowing about them. Like, how was your trip?
Yeah.
How was this? How is work, like you're working on a new startup, how is this? And you know these small little things. I didn't know that the first time, but only because I've met them like five different times and have continued that, do you get to that point. But like the first time meeting someone, and the two other friends that I went with from home, they're like, what are we supposed to talk? Like, it's a daunting thing to go into a group setting when you don't know anyone and you have to make that small talk. Like the learning curve of anything with this concept of patience is crazy, because the second you get over that hump and become comfortable, you completely flip a switch where you're not going to go back to any of that awkwardness or any of the like initial setup phase. All you're going to do is continue to get comfortable and continue to like become more of yourself and make the situation more unique, no matter what it is. If it's your routines, if it's, you know, building new friendships, if it's the clothing you wear.
Sometimes I put certain outfits on or I try things on and I feel like I'm like cosplaying like a different identity.
Literally.
I'm like, well, is this gonna work for me? Like I saw this shirt on someone else and I liked it, or like I feel like this is a style that could work or could look good. And I just like feel weird about it.
I remember this so vividly. In my like freshman year of college, I put on a pair of like basketball shorts and a like long sleeve white t-shirt. And then my roommate came home and she's like, love her. She's like, what are you wearing? Like, and I was like, I felt like I was cosplaying. I was just like trying something. And she's like, what are you wearing?
Basketball
like,
shorts and a long sleeve.
Like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
But 3 years later, we all could have worn the same thing and it would have been like, that's like nice. You like, really? That looks great.
Yeah. You grow into things sometimes.
Think about G or I putting on basketball shorts and like a white long sleeve and wearing that in public. Like, yeah, no one would question. Now, honestly, you know what I mean? Yeah. But we weren't, no one was there yet.
I am thinking about this because now that I'm in New York, I feel like I'm thinking so much more about like my fashion when I've just been at home in New Hampshire. There's really no reason for me to like go overboard with style. When we were in Australia, it was like very casual. And suddenly I'm like, oh my God, I'm going out with friends on the weekends. I'm going to dinners. Like I have to put outfits together again. And so I was trying to put an outfit together like the other weekend. And so I sent my friends a video trying on like any combination of things that I could in my closet, and I'd gone out shopping and I'd bought some stuff. And there was this like one red Reformation top that I bought. And if anyone knows the style, it's the style where like the sleeves are a little like fluttery, but it like, it's like a t-shirt kind of, but it like cinches at the waist,
you know,
and it ties in
the Reformation back. Silk pants.
Ooh, we can try them on.
Yeah.
When you come to New York.
Because I need a pair of pants with no belt loop so that I can wear my belt that wraps around. So
and
that's really
I bought this
me.
Shirt because I tried it on in the store and it's a very popular style and I keep seeing it. And I think I went shopping like right before Valentine's Day. So I was kind of in like a red mood and I was like, let me get it in red. And I liked it, but I kind of had my hesitations about it then. And I was trying on all these different outfits and I was trying it on with different pants and I was trying different tops on and stuff. And so many of my friends were like, I love that top. You should wear that. And when they said it, I was like, oh, I actually don't like it. I don't want to wear that. Like, I don't know what they're seeing that I'm not seeing, but I don't love this. Like, I keep putting it on. And no matter what pants I put on with it, I'm just like slightly uncomfortable and it doesn't feel right. And so.
And that is likely going to last for a really long time.
Right. I was like, if I wear this tonight, like, I actually would feel like kind of uncomfortable and like I was cosplaying this identity. I don't know if it's that the color is bright red and that is kind of throwing me off. I don't know if it's the style in general, like would I like this in a white or a brown? I don't know. But something about it was off. So I was like, you know what? I'm not taking the tags off of this expensive Reformation shirt because I can tell even when people are telling me that they think it looks good, I'm still hesitant about it. Then this is like, for whatever reason, not a piece for me. And then I continue going back every single time to this one like Aritzia Babaton. Do you know like the suiting material tube top? Like I have it in the navy blue pinstripe and the tan and you have the black version.
Oh,
I love that style of top. And I find that style to be like so flattering on me. I'm so comfortable in it. I feel like myself in it. And so I have like certain tops and stuff that I feel like I revert back to every time that feel like they're part of my identity. And then I try these other like nice pieces of clothing on and I'm like, I like this hypothetically, but for some reason it doesn't feel like me. And that's kind of like an interesting experience to be like, I like this, but I feel like I'm trying on a different identity. Like it doesn't feel like me for some reason.
Which part of that is just if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And the other part of that is if it works a little and you see the potential and you like want to reach the potential, if you keep wearing it, keep making it your own, maybe you do that by wearing other things. Maybe you do that by wearing it in a setting you're comfortable in. That's when your things, is particularly clothing that we're talking about, reach a different level of being where they fit with you. You see someone and they could be wearing, like, for lack of a better word, an outlandish outfit, something that is like, huh. But you don't register it as like something that is maybe overdone for the setting or maybe underdressed for the setting. It works. Like, think of people who show up to casual events and they're like slightly overdressed in a good way, but you don't even notice. You're just like, there is such good energy coming from this right now because they're not putting on a costume with their clothing. Mm-hmm. It really works for them. That's the whole point of like this cool girl energy that you see. You're not seeing like, oh my God, those jeans are perfect. No, they're perfect for them because they fit the vibe and the style and the fit, and they've broken them in enough that they are a part of that person mm-hmm. rather than that person is wearing this you know, it's less about the physical item of clothing and more about just like the energy and the connection that you have with this item. And it goes for everything else. The longer you use something as your own and enjoy something, mm-hmm. the better it gets, which you guys know that Karen and I both support, like buy it nice or buy it twice, that whole concept. Whenever we talk about like,
I'm like, we support this.
What is yes, the movement.
Yes, that movement.
No, but it's if you buy something cheaply, it's going to fit. We've talked about this before, particularly with workout clothes. If you buy something that's like the extreme cheap option just because it's cheap, you end up long term spending more on that because you're replacing these items year after mm-hmm. year, or you're unsatisfied with the items rather than if you have five good pairs of like workout sets that will last no matter how many times you wash them or wear them and they make you feel very comfortable. Mm-hmm. That is so much more beneficial than having 30 pairs of cheap workout
sets. Yeah, I fell victim last summer to like bright colored Amazon and like running shorts and stuff like that. And now I see them in my workout drawer and I'm like, I wore that like one or two times and the top is not actually that supportive and the color is too bright for me that I only pull it off if I'm like ridiculously tan and in my mm-hmm. best summer shape and I'm not actually really gonna wear it that often, but I fell victim to the trendiness of we're getting bright Amazon sets.
I haven't told anyone this yet, but and Catherine and I are planning a trip back to Hong Kong in September. We lived there for 4 years growing up, which I feel like I reference somewhat often on the podcast because it shaped so much of why I love to travel and just who I am. To be fair, it's like a very important part of my life, especially by rebuilding the Mandarin that I lost after moving back to the US for high school. You guys know I love and use Rosetta Stone for Mandarin in general, but instead of doing it more casually, I've been committing more often recently because I have this trip that I'm looking ahead to. Instead of memorizing random vocabulary words or constantly translating everything back to English, Rosetta Stone immerses you directly in the language. You learn by connecting words with images and context and then gradually build those words into phrases and full sentences, which feels like a much more natural way to learn a language. They also have this true accent feature, which I find super helpful, especially with Mandarin when you're working with all different types of tones. It gives you real-time feedback on your pronunciation. Which is super helpful because I think understanding Mandarin has always come back more easily for me than confidently speaking it. So having a way to actually practice speaking out loud has been really helpful. And I know I'm not going to become fluent again overnight, but every lesson does make me feel a little more connected to the language and place that were such a big part of my childhood. And now that I have this trip on the calendar, it's given me even more motivation to stay consistent. If you're ready to start your language learning journey, head to rosettastone.com and use code TODAY to get started. That's rosettastone.com/today.
Which, those sets are great. Like, this is not to say go overspend on clothing items.
No, because Amazon quality like can be good sometimes if you find like the CRZ yoga type.
This is all to say don't always go for the cheaper option only because it's cheaper. It may not be good quality. It might break on you. It might fit really weird. Like part of that is not about how much you spend on an item. It's about how much stuff you're consuming, which the less stuff you consume and the less stuff you buy, the more higher quality stuff that will last that you have, the less you're going to have to buy. So long term, you're going to save so much money and also probably be happier because you're not filled with this like clutter and concept of just like always having more stuff that is not mm-hmm. good quality. Like there is something to be said about having a more minimalistic lifestyle with the stuff you consume and getting higher quality stuff. Like it is so life changing, even like Tupperware. Mm-hmm. Glass containers over plastic containers. You're going to have those for so much longer and they're going to serve you so much better than the plastic Tupperware containers. Like these are such minimal switches that we don't realize have such a large impact on our lives. And I also think about this with like other larger tangible things, like literally your car.
Mm.
Your car is such, and I say this because I really like cars and I do a lot of work with cars. Your car is such a personal thing. I love seeing, my friend, when she's home, she drives like a Subaru Forester from 2009. And every time I see one of like that generation, I'm like, oh, miss her. It's not the same one, but like you see that car and you think of that person mm-hmm. or all of these people, even like people from high school, the cars that they drove in high school. If I see them on the road, I'm like, it's not them. But
really? We have totally different memories. I don't know a thing about cars.
Okay, but people, your car is such a big part of your identity, especially from a personal perspective. Like, one of my friends was interested in buying a new car, and he showed us an old Volvo station wagon. I think it was like a 2008. There were a couple of us that were looking at the screen and we're like, you know what? I would not have expected this was the car that you were going to show me, but it's perfect. Like, I love this for you. It's just so interesting how people's cars are such a physical expression of them, because a car is a big investment and it's something that you use every day. It's like something that really has to be aligned with you, or it's going to be really frustrating to manage and to use every day. This concept of things breaking in and things getting better with time is not something that people might associate with cars, but that's something that I do, because I always tie the type of car someone drives to them subconsciously. I think there's just so many things that we don't realize have a larger impact on who we are and the comfort that we have with ourselves and in our day-to-day lives, that the longer we practice and the longer we are intentional about and the longer we care about something, and the longer that we put focus on this, being one with the things that we wear and the things that we do and the things that we use in our day-to-day lives, it just elevates your entire being, which sounds way more philosophical than it actually is. But it's really just about are you enjoying your life? Are you aligned with your life and everything in it, or not?
I think what I'm getting from this is we think that value comes from something new. We think, oh, the newest piece of clothing, the newest car, that is where the value lies. But it doesn't. The value lies in the things that you have held on to forever, that you've broken in, that hold memories. If you think about it, if your house is burning down, are you going to grab your newest Aritzia shirt? Or I would probably grab the stuffed dog that cost $15 that I've had since I was a baby. It's the things that you've broken in and that hold memories that are actually the most valuable to you, not the newest, shiniest, most expensive things. I feel like that's kind of what I'm taking away from this is it's so easy to think, oh, if I buy something new, if I get this, things are going to be better. My identity is going to be changed. But it's not really it's not about getting something new and changing your identity. It's about deepening your identity by adding meaning and life to the things that you already have, I think. Because I could buy something new. I could get on the Skims sale and buy a haul, and I might get things that I'm like, oh, that's so cute. I'm really excited about it. And then it sits in my closet and I forget it's even there, because I have things that just are more comfortable and meaningful to me and that I think about more often, you know? You could have 100 of the newest Skims sweatshirts and you're probably still going to reach for the sentimental college logo sweatshirt you have and things like that.
The point of this is that in order for the stuff that you have to be beneficial for you, so the clothing, the friends, the routines, the car, you know, the house that you have, in order for that stuff to be beneficial to you, you have to get rid of any notion of being materialistic. You have to get rid of any notion of, if I have this, then I will be. Because it's not about the stuff changing you. It's about you changing the stuff to become more of you and an extension of you and something that supports you. So this isn't territorial. I think the materialistic side of things, where people say, if I buy this sweatshirt and if I drive this car and if I live in on this street, I will be who I want to be, or I will be better, or I will be XYZ. That's not at all how it works. That's only going to breed a larger gap of discomfort. And if that's not something that you're aware of with yourself, then that's not really going to affect you as significantly as someone who really is aware of themselves, as someone who is intentional about who they are and cares about who they are and is conscious of themselves. If you're not conscious, then this is not going to impact you, because it won't matter either way. If you're conscious and aligned with yourself and aware of yourself, that's when these smaller switches are going to make such a big impact. When we're territorial over I have this thing, you can't have it, this is mine, you're putting so much emphasis on the actual thing rather than how that thing serves you and how you and that thing are aligned. It's so territorial and negative, and just, it doesn't help anyone, and it becomes materialistic when that's the way that you think. This isn't about being materialistic. It's about the connection between you and this thing, and it's about the process of it becoming yours.
I'm thinking about this quote that I heard once. I don't even know where, but it's kind of stuck with me, that says, everywhere I am, that's where I am.
Who said that?
No, I feel like I've read that before, that or something along those lines, that no matter where you are.
That's right.
No. Okay, I don't know if
we've lost the plot a little bit.
No, I don't know if that's exactly how it
is.
Be
where your feet are? Is
that... No. It's saying that like we put this external emphasis on, oh, the grass is greener. If I am in a different house, if I'm in a different place, if I'm in a different city, then things are going to be better. And like, yes, there is absolutely an impact of our environment. But we also have to understand that like in all of those places, you are living in yourself. You're living in your own mind. And a lot of the time, it's about training your mind to be present and be happier and to be wherever you are and to realize that like, your grass can be greener right here, right now, if you work on your mindset and if you fertilize it, if you find ways to find happiness and presence where you are. Like, we don't always solve our problems by chasing what's next and chasing the next place and the next thing. We solve it by, you know, working on ourselves internally, because right. no matter where you go and what you do, you are there. You are living it in your head. You are doing that. So yes, everywhere I go, that is where I am.
it's such a great point. It's just funny that's...
I don't know if that's like, okay, I'm trying to like relay that concept, and I'm sure that that's wrong.
It's just funny that is all it takes to be considered like a quote that I remember. You
know, everywhere. I mean? Yeah. But it's a thought. I guess it's a thought mm-hmm. and a concept that I've remembered. And yeah, it does go along the lines of like, of be where your feet are. But I think it's kind of the flip side of that, where like, don't expect that it's these external things that are going to change everything, because it is you living your life in your own head, having yes. your own experience, no matter where you are and what you're mm-hmm. doing. And so much more often than we do, I think we need to, and I say this to myself because I find that I am constantly chasing what's next and planning what's next. And I think I need to be better at just like being where my feet are and being here and trying to like enjoy the day at hand versus trying to
right.
plan the best big picture on paper life that I can and trying to chase these achievements. You know, I think sometimes I owe it to myself to be a bit more present and happy and let myself enjoy the moment more than I do, rather than feeling like, oh, but when I go here, it'll be so fun. And when I do this, it'll be so fun. And when I achieve this, it'll be so fun. And I get so caught up in like the grind of things.
Right. Well,
that, like,
planning.
I forget that like, no, I am here right now and I right. deserve to like enjoy this moment too.
It's like the planning and the expectations and the like, when I do this, when yeah. this happens, when this, it takes you so far out of your present reality that you don't actually get to reap any of the benefits of the things that you're doing or the things that maybe you're working towards.
Yeah.
Which kind of defeats the whole purpose. The other thing that I think is really important to bring up, and that this woman who, again, I truly wish I knew her name and I tried to find it, but she's doing a good job at keeping things on the down low. But she talks about, she uses the word urgency a lot. And I think that's a really great word to focus on with this concept of patience. Everything that we do these days has such a sense of urgency. Urgency, both in like, I need to get here now, I need to do this now, planning ahead and taking yourself out of that because you feel such a sense of urgency to go travel to this place or to accomplish this thing or to go to this restaurant. You know what I mean? Even smaller things. But we have such a sense of urgency of, I need to be number one right now. I need to be the best right now. I need to mm-hmm. master this thing. I just moved into a house. It needs to be finished right now, like furnishing and decorating and all of this. I just moved to a new city. Why don't I have any friends? Because you just moved there.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time for you to have strong roots in the ground and really feel like that place is your home. But we're going to psych ourselves out when things don't happen overnight, when things don't happen automatically. We're going to psych ourselves out when we buy a piece of clothing and it feels like a piece of clothing external on our bodies and not like, oh, I put this on and this is a comfort piece
it's
of
mine,
clothing.
Yeah.
We have such a sense of urgency because we're not used to delayed gratification. All we want is instant gratification. And if we don't get it, even if it's something as much as, I just bought this pair of jeans and they're not broken and they're not perfect.
I just put these pants on for the first time and they're the exact same style, just in a different color that I have of other jeans. And I put them on and I was
new?
Oh, these are going to need a couple hours to break in because these fit me a little tighter than the other ones do. But I also know that last time I washed my blue pair, I put them on and I was like, whoa, what happened? But it's because they're like Levi's denim and they shrink a little bit. And you got to break them in for a couple hours.
Right. When you're looking to get new things, or when you're, you know, looking around your closet or your room or your environment, whether that be your social environment, work, all of these things. That's another thing we'll say. Work, the first time you know, the first couple months of a job, you're like learning the ropes. It might still feel very like black and white information heavy. But if you've been in a job for like a couple years, you have maybe a little bit more autonomy. You have a little bit more confidence in the job, like a lot more understanding of the actual business.
And also, you're probably friendly with the people and you guys have memories and are comfortable and have that rapport now.
Yeah, you've broken that in. You can do so much more with that job and you're likely going to enjoy that job a lot more than you did in the first few months of it. So all of this to say, I really found the concept interesting and I'm excited for this woman to share her research or continue doing her research on this concept of clothing domestication.
No, I really liked this conversation. I think it was a good reminder and a good notion, like for me at least, and hopefully anyone listening, that, you know, it's sometimes it's not about chasing what's next, but it's about practicing the patience to deepen what we already have. And like, I think that's when we find true value and meaning in life. And so whether that comes from your clothes, whether that comes from your hobbies or your relationships and things like that, it's so easy to constantly be chasing what's next. But I think we truly get the most value and the most
enjoyment,
love and enjoyment and all of these positive things when we have a handful of good things and we deepen them. And it's a reminder of being where your feet are and valuing what you have instead of always chasing what's next, which is definitely something that I need to hear often. So
yeah, I just think it's a lifestyle shift that will make such a larger impact on how much you enjoy your life, which if you haven't picked up on is kind of the vibe that I've been going for throughout this year, is just like getting back to simplicity and cutting out anything that isn't really simple or doesn't really have this concept of really serving me or being one with me or, you know, being aligned with myself, so that you can actually experience life better and enjoy your life and like be reminded that you exist as a human. Because I think there's so like with so much consumerism, and whether that be like physical products, clothing, like I always need the best car and I need to live in the best house and I need X, Y, and Z and I need the best friends because I need to share that and on social media, and like, we're consuming so many things. It just takes us away from ourselves and like takes us away from being grounded in our lives. So everything that we can do to get back to that and talk about kind of more real concepts that actually benefit our life, it was great. So thank you guys for listening. I hope this was an interesting conversation for you. If you have any other comments on this or want to add, you know, your two cents, the comments, if you're watching on Spotify, are always available, or you can leave something in a review or send us a DM. It's at Girls with Goals Pod on Instagram and TikTok, or at Aunt Catherine Kineen.
At Caroline Kineen. Send this episode to a friend who you think, you know, might enjoy it. I might enjoy going for a walk or cleaning their house while they listen to it. And we will see you guys next Monday.
Bye.